to test this out real quick because I didn't get here early enough this morning. You all right with that? Okay. Song's entitled, O Sacred Lamb. We did it a couple years back. Jesus was that sacred lamb that came to this earth to die for us.
With me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Once you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, put your bulletin there. I give you another verse we're going to get to first, but we'll get there, and you'll need to be flipping back and forth to it a couple times this morning. 1 Corinthians 12. Once you get there, put your bulletin there and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 weeks ago, I started a two-part message dealing with finding your place. Part one there dealt with the using of our spiritual gifts in the local church, as well as today's message. You'll be dealing with that. I want to remind you of six important principles that we studied 2 weeks ago that is important for us to build upon. Now, the first one was God owns everything. That should be obvious. We would not deny that as believers today. Even our own bodies were bought with a price. We're not our own. Therefore, we're to glorify God with our body and our spirit, which belongs to Him. That is a truth that we carry in our mind and we may assess with our mouth, but I'm not sure if we have accepted all of the ramifications of that truth. Second one is, God has given you some resources to be used for Him. Every believer, we'll see this morning, has been given at least one spiritual gift that God has given you to be exercised within the local church. Number three, one day God will audit your life and make you accountable for how you have used what He has given you. And that day of reckoning is the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, where every Christian will stand individually before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will give an account for what we have done with our bodies for Him since we have been saved. It's not accounting of sin, but it's accounting of what we have done for the Lord in a positive way that would be worth rewarding. The fourth principle was, it is wrong for you to bury what God gave you. This is out of the parable of the parable of the talents there that Jesus gave. How that spoken of there, representing the Lord, gave to His servants. One, He gave 10 talents there of money. To another, 5 talents. To one, He gave 1 talent. And to each one, they were to use what they were given. And as you know, the story of what Jesus taught us there, the one that had gotten the ten and the five there used theirs, but the one that had gotten one did not use it, but hid it in the earth. He was afraid, he said. And God had said, well done to the others, but to this one He said, thou lazy and slothful servant, wicked and slothful servant, a lazy servant. That did not use. We're not to bury what God has given us, but we're to use it. And then the fifth principle, if you don't use it, we know that in the physical world to be true of our bodies. And spiritually speaking, if we don't use what God has given us, we will lose even that. In that parable, He said, take that of the one that had not used it and give it to the one that had 10 that had gained. So, it is our responsibility to use it, lest the Lord may take even that we have away from us. And then the last principle we saw, if you use your talent wisely, you will be rewarded. And we have mentioned that already. I closed the message 2 weeks ago, running out of time, and I did not have time really to share all of this or summarize this illustration. But I wanted to share it a little more in depth here with what had been given. It speaks about a tent peg, a stake that stakes down a tent. It says, a tent peg is a lowly object. It is not made out of fancy material or decorated with fancy designs. Its job is to bore into the dirt and stay there as long as needed. But here is a wonderful truth about tent pegs and other humble implements. God accords them just as much significance as He does golden altars, fragrant incense, and beautiful embroidered linen. When the Israelites had completed all of the components of the tabernacle in the wilderness, Moses had them present their work before him to be inspected. He didn't just ask for the Ark of the Covenant or the pure gold lampstand. He asked to see every last piece of this most important structure. Everything had to be perfect, including the tent pegs. In God's eyes, it goes on to say, each item had an important job to do, and each was infused with value and significance. Sometimes you may feel like anything, you may not feel like anything more than a tent peg holding down the flapping tent of your home. But in God's eyes, it is not important whether or not you're made of bronze or of gold, but what is important, get this, what is important to Him is whether or not you are carrying out to the best of your ability the function for which you were designed. That quality is what passes the inspection of our Lord and gives glory to Him. When we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, He's not going to be concerned about whether or not you were the golden altar, lampstand, or a tent peg. But what He is going to be concerned is, to the best of your ability, did you use what He gave you for Him? And that is going to be the truth that we need to understand. It's that function that God has given to us that we want to look at further today. And I've entitled this, as we are doing, Finding Your Place, Part 2, looking into the significance of the spiritual gifts in the local church. Let's pray. Father, we pause right now acknowledging that apart from You, we can do nothing. Lord, I pray for myself right now that You'd help me to be able to share these things that I've studied, that it would be clearly presented, that it would be the truth of Your Word, and Your Spirit would take that truth and impart it into each one of us. Help us to do our part, to listen carefully and seek to understand. Father, also to have a submissive will to give of ourselves completely to what You show us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why is serving important? What do I need to know about my gift or gifts? And how do I begin using what God has given us? That's what I want to look at briefly this morning. The first one is why service is important. And there are at least five reasons why serving God in the local church is important. Number one, the first one is that it's God's purpose for me, for you. God has a purpose, and here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, it speaks of God in verse 8 there at the end, verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now notice that God has called us out of darkness into this marvelous world of salvation there, and He did it by His grace, nothing that we deserved, but He did it according to His great purpose. God has a purpose for you being saved today, and it's not just so that you can go to heaven. God has a purpose that He wants you right now in this world. We are to be certainly a light to shine for Him, that men may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We certainly are to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ in going into all the world and sharing that gospel truth. But in the confines of the local church, God has given and has a great purpose for us beyond just sitting here and learning the truth, being equipped with what God wants us to know in order to do. But we have a responsibility to be in service in His local church. God has a purpose for us. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, before purposed, that we should walk in them. So it's God's purpose for me to be in service. That's number one reason of importance. Secondly, I will never truly grow spiritually unless I get involved in service. You will never grow significantly until you get involved in service. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, as you turn there, when people want to join our church, the way that is done is you can talk to me before, but the best way is just to come down the aisle after a morning service and to say, Pastor, I'd like to join this church, and I will explain to you that we'll want you to look up our doctrinal statement. I'll give you a hard copy, or you look online to do that. And we'll have you come and sit down with the deacons and myself and give a statement of how you come to know the Lord as your Savior, and you've been scripturally baptized after that. And then at the next business meeting, we would vote you in as a member of the church. And one of the things that we always try to tell people there in that time is being faithful here in the local church, and not just being faithful in your attendance, but making yourself a part of this church, getting involved in some capacity. You know that in churches today, people that just come and sit here on Sunday morning and get up and walk and never really get involved in any other aspect of the church have a hard time feeling like they're really a part of the church. But if you get involved, if you begin to minister in some way, some capacity, then you are vested in this ministry. It is yours. It is part of you, and you feel that part, and that is so important. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, it speaks there that God, the Lord Jesus, in verse 11, gave some evangelists and some pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints. We noted that word perfecting means to equip, to make ready. To do what? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And one builds on the other. He gave pastor, teachers, and evangelists there to equip the saints, you, to do the work of the ministry. The word ministry there is diakonia, which we get the word used sometimes as deacon, as a servant. We are to do the work of service in order that the church would be edified, built up. Not talking about the physical building, but the people that make it up. And so as we are equipped, we are to do that work, and then comes the building up, the benefiting of it. And I will not grow in the benefiting of it if I skip the middle section there of getting involved in the service. And so it's important not just to be here to learn the truth, but we need to get involved in the service that we may continue to grow and be edified together. Third thing that we see, reason why it is important to serve, unless I serve, some needs of the church are not going to be met. Now look over with me there to 1 Corinthians 12 that I said we'd turn to. 1 Corinthians 12 is packed full of information about our spiritual gifts here. We'll only look at verses 14 and following here a little bit. It says there, for the body is not one member, but many. And Paul uses the illustration of a physical body being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us make up the different parts of the body. Not everybody is a eye, not everybody is a tongue, not everybody is a foot, etc., he argues. But he says, therefore, the body is not one member, but it's many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not part of the body, I'm not important, is it therefore not part of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, I'm not important, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? And the whole were a hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God, and get this, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. In other words, could I say to you right now that God has placed every believer this morning that is here today, He has placed you in the body as it has pleased Him. Now that means you are in this body of believers with a purpose. God put you here for a reason. And every believer has a purpose while they're here. God has that. And if it would stand to reason then, if some people are not doing what God wants them to do, we are missing that service. Now, you might not be able to tell it some, but we become disabled in certain areas. We have a disability because we don't have everyone working in that ministry. So unless I serve, some needs of the church will not be met. The fourth thing is, I will either contribute to this church's advancement, or I will hinder it. You know that there's no middle ground. Steve brought that out in Sunday school this morning. There's no middle ground there. Jesus said, you're either with me or you're against me. You're either doing that which he said to do or you're not. You're obedient or you're not. There's no middle ground there. And so either I'm going to contribute to this church's advancement, or if I don't contribute, I am a hindrance to it. It's not just dead weight there, but it's actually drawing against. We need to be involved, helping, not hindering, not hurting. And then the last we see there, why it's important, is our service honors our Lord. Look over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. This is another great couple of verses in here about spiritual gifts. But I want you to see a purpose, a principle, and a promise concerning the fact that our service honors the Lord. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. If any man minister or serve, let him do it as of the ability or the power which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, 2 weeks ago when we dealt with this, I spoke about this verse here, and I said there, we are to speak the principles of God's Word, we are to serve with the power of God's Spirit, and we're to do it for the purpose of God's glory. We are to honor God with our service for the purpose of His glory. The principle that is found is over in 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, that says there, them that honor me, I will honor, God said. Those that honor me, I will honor. And that's a great principle to understand. And the promise that comes then, Jesus said in John 12, 26, if any man serve me, him with my Father honor. So if we will serve the Lord, God promises that He will honor us. He honors those that honors Him. And we are to do what we do, whether it is speaking the truth of His Word, or whether it is doing that truth in service by the power of God, it will be for His honor, for His glory. And that's what it should be. So why service is important, those reasons. Now look with me. What to know about your abilities. There are at least five facts that I want you to understand this morning about your spiritual gifts, your abilities that God has given you. The first one is that every Christian is given at least one spiritual gift. Flip back there to 1 Corinthians 12. Every Christian, every believer is given at least one spiritual gift. Excuse me. In verse 11, he's in the context here, he's talking about all the different spiritual gifts there. But he says in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing unto every man severally as he will. The word severally there means individually. And the emphasis I want you to get is the Spirit of God gives to every man, every individual Christian, the gift or gifts that He wants them to have. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them. How many believers are we talking about? Every one of them in the body. What is the body? The church, speaking specifically of this local church here. He has placed us in here as it has pleased Him. Every individual Christian is in a local church that God has designed for a purpose there of using the spiritual gift or gifts that God has given to that every believer. So every Christian is given at least one. Secondly, Every ability is given by God. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no turning or moving or changing. God is the same, but the point that I want you to get, it is from God that we get the spiritual gift or gifts. Every gift is from Him, including our spiritual gift. Thirdly, no matter what your ability, you are a necessary part of the body. Again, in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 22, he says, "Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary." In the context there, he's talking to these believers. Some of them had had a misunderstanding and was abusing the use or the desire for spiritual gifts. And they were wanting the showy gifts, the upfront gifts. I want a spiritual gift where I can minister and people can see me ministering. Well, that's kind of a bad attitude to begin with, right? The motive there. And God was trying to get them to understand the truth about the spiritual gifts, and that is that not everyone is going to have a gift that's up front. Some people are going to have gifts that are used that nobody ever really sees that, but it's just as important. Kind of like the tent peg that holds down the poles and so forth there for the tabernacle. Without them, it would fall apart. And it is so with so many that minister within the local church. There are many things that are done on a weekly basis that nobody else sees, but if it was not done, we certainly would notice. And he says here to them, those members of the body which seem to be, not that they are, but they seem to be unto them more feeble, not as, you know, to be chosen, not as much to be desired, they are necessary. God has placed every one of us in this local church for the reason of using our gifts here. No matter what your ability, you are a necessary part of the body. Number four, your abilities, that is God working in you to make these abilities, indicates what service God wants you in. Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. It is a benediction that is given here by the writer of Hebrews, possibly the Apostle Paul. And he says in Hebrews 13, verse 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant," he says, "Now the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, get what he's saying here. May God make you perfect. The word perfect there has the idea of being complete. Complete in every good work, every good thing that we're to do. Working in you that which is pleasing in His sight. God is working in every one of us. He is seeking to do that work and preparing us to do the work of the ministry, the work that He wants us to do. And so as He does that work in you to equip you with that spiritual gift and to develop that spiritual gift, then you can work, God can work through you to others. But He's first got to do that work in you to prepare you. Does that make sense? God wants to work in you so that He can then work through you, but He's going to do that work in you first. And your ability, how God works in you and what He is trying to develop, that should give you an indication of where God wants you to work, what you're to use in that gift for Him. And the last there, what these facts to know about your spiritual gifts there. Since I am part of Christ's body, I am to seek to learn what part I am. That ought to make sense. Since you are part of this local body, then what part of you? What participation are you to have in the local church? We need a desire to learn. We need to develop, and we need to use, and that leads us to the last point here, how to defrost your frozen assets. If God has given you, and what God has given you are those assets. And we can jokingly call them, if we're not using them, they're frozen assets. But how do we start using them? How do we defrost those frozen assets? How do we begin to use what God has given us in these spiritual gifts? And there are five things. In 7 minutes, we can do it. Here we go. Number one, we need to evaluate the abilities God has given you. Over in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, in verse 3, he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, that is, with sound judgment, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And in the context here, he is talking about spiritual gifts again. And he says there that God has given to every one of us the measure of faith there, a measure of this spiritual gift there. And we are to evaluate ourselves, not to think of ourselves more highly. We're not to assume that God has given us more than what He has, but we're to use sound judgment to evaluate what is it that God has blessed me with? What is it that God has given? What is it that God is working in me to develop? We need to evaluate the abilities that God has given us. Secondly, we need to dedicate your abilities to God. Verse 1 there, he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We are to dedicate ourselves and what God is doing within us unto Him for use, whatever He would want. Thirdly, not only are we to evaluate and to dedicate, but we are to discipline our flesh from sin. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, God gives an illustration here that I think is important to understand. We've used it. I've used it many times in speaking about when we're about to do some great service, etc. there, that we need to be clean vessels for God to use. So we need to discipline our flesh from sin. In verse 20 there of 2 Timothy 2, he says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified," set apart, dedicated, if you will, "and meet," or fitting, "for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." He tells us in the end of verse 19 there, "Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity," from sin. And so in this illustration, as we see here, there are vessels that God wants to use. And if you think of yourself as a vessel, as a cup, or as a plate, etc., nobody wants to eat lunch today off of a dirty plate. And nobody wants to accept the service that you have to offer with a dirty life, and certainly not God that knows every part of it. So what do we do in this world? Since we are not perfect, even though we should be pressing toward that mark, we have got to be persistent to confess our sin and to have God to wash us again. Not to save us again, but to cleanse us from every sin. We've got to deal with it. And we've got to discipline ourselves then not to allow our flesh to sin. So evaluate your abilities, dedicate your abilities, discipline your flesh from sin, develop your skills, take every opportunity to do so. When I was in elementary school, about the third, fourth, maybe fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, I think it was. We didn't have, in my day, we didn't have county sports. Didn't have soccer leagues and football league camps and all of this kind of things to go to. But our elementary school would have the high school, some of the high school coaches and so forth come in the week after school was out, and they would conduct football fundamentals for 1 week, 2 hours every morning. And I begged my parents, please let me go, please take me over there. And so they took me over there. Fourth grade, I was listening to everything they said. And when they would teach three-point stance, four-point stance, they would teach how to block, how to tackle, how to catch, how to throw, how to get a handoff, etc. All of these things, I was listening. I would work on them. I'd work on them. The next year, in the fifth grade, I went to football fundamentals. I already knew what they were going to teach. And I went through it, and I did every one of them just the way they were saying it, so forth. The next year came along, and I showed up, and the coaches said, I remember you. You could probably teach this now, couldn't you? But I wanted to learn everything that I could because that's what I wanted to do. It was important. Taking every opportunity to learn. In 2005, the Wiles Christian Camp teamed up with evangelist Tom Farrell and did a Power in the Pulpit seminar. And so I signed up. That's what I want. I mean, God has called me to preach. I want to be the best preacher that I can. Well, that year I had to have emergency surgery, and I didn't get to go. Oh, I was greatly disappointed. The next year came around, I was signed up. 2006, 2007, 2008, Tom was getting the, what else can I teach you? 2009, and then they quit doing it. But I wanted to learn everything that I could learn in addition to what I already knew because it was important to be all that I could be through God's power to do what He has called me to do. That's all I'm saying about here, developing your skills. As you identify what it is that God is working in you to do, it gives insight of where God may want to work with you and through you in the local church. And we are to seek to develop that skill to the best of our ability. Not just anything will do. I despise that attitude. I think God does too. We're to give Him our best in our service unto Him. And then the last thing, how do I steps to defrosting your assets there, determine to faithfully use what God has given you. 1 Peter 4:10, again, if you remember over there, we said there that as every man hath received the gift, again, every believer has been given a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are to use faithfully what God has given us because of stewards, what's the number one thing that God says it should be counted as true? That we should be faithful, 1 Corinthians 4:2. It's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. So as good stewards of what God has given us in His grace there, of these spiritual gifts, we are to use them faithfully for the Lord there. Don't listen to the excuses that Satan gives to try to get you out of doing what God wants you to be involved in. In closing, there are two things that I want you to consider. The first one is this: of all people, why has God brought you to Holly Hills Baptist Church? Of all people, why has God brought you to this church? God has a reason that you're here. Secondly, will you trust God and use what He gave you where He put you? I think we would say we trust God. He's put you here. He has a purpose for you to use that gift. Will you trust Him and use your gift where God has put you? Every head bow, please. These questions come down to your personal answers. We see you in the body, your physical body, here in this local body, the church. But are you active? Are you contributing to the advancement of this church? Or are you not? You have a choice. It's not about what capacity that you minister, but whether or not you're using to the best of your ability that which God has given you. He knows. Will you honestly evaluate your gift? Father, I pray that we each would consider these things, and not just for this morning. Lord, as you continue to work in us, so that you can work through us, may we identify where you are wanting to work and where we should be active. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing again.